Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Final hour of power coming up right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lenoa Willingham, Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Legal tampering period gets underway Monday in the National Football League. Washington already with a flurry of moves as they get ready for free agency to begin. Right now we're joined on the guest hotline by our pal Ben Standing of The Athletic. Ben, what is going on, my man? Happy free agency season.
Yeah, you never know when something's going to happen, as we found out about 20 minutes ago with the John Allen news. So, we just got to stay on your toes now.
So I want to follow up on the John Allen thing. Obviously, this is something that was anticipated. Washington, clears some cap space with this move. The injury history last year, I think, impacted this. The production over the past 2 years haven't been there. When you look at how Washington's addressing the position moving forward, though, Ben, do you think they're comfortable going into week one with Daron Payne and Johnny Newton as they're starting two defensive linemen on the interior? Or do you anticipate them looking for a different type of starter?
yes and no. I mean, we talk about the starters a lot. Say on the offensive line, if we say who the starters are, barring injury, they're going to play every snap, right? The defensive line is different. Typically nobody's playing 90% or more of the snaps, not even necessarily 80 consistently. So if Payne and Newton are saying playing 70% of the snaps, that leaves another 60 that they currently have nobody to fill in because all their guys are free agents. So depending on what they look at, they could decide, hey, we want to shoot for the moon a little bit more and get somebody that we could start now, but also have after this year when Daron Payne likely or may, I should say, suffer the same fate that John Allen did today after this year, or they just need depth. Maybe it's re-signing guys like Sheldon Day. So that's my only question is, like, what do they view this as? Is there a player they dislike for not just this year but beyond? But, yeah, I mean, beyond that, look, I think Newton looked okay last year. They need to see more production out of him. But, obviously they drafted him in the second round for a reason.
Yeah, but that was going to be my question. Is this more about just a money thing for John and not being able to work something out, or is it because they really have a liking to Johnny Newton and think with a full offseason, fingers crossed of ideal health and not missing time with injury, that he's going to take a really massive step forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're happy with Johnny Newton, but this is definitely more about the money. I mean, this was, one of those things that was obvious, not just over the last couple weeks, but even like a year or so ago. I mean, John Allen was on the books this year for about $22-23 million on the salary cap. He's going into the final year of his contract. Typically, if you're going into the final year of your deal for a star player, right, you're going to say, hey, kind of wanted to renegotiate this thing, right? Well, okay, Washington, I don't believe, wanted to give him an extension. He's going to turn 30. He's turned 30. They're going to have, as you said, at a minimum, they have Payne and Newton for now already. And they also would want to lower that cap number. So the way to lower the cap number is to do a restructure or renegotiation. But again, if they don't want to extend him, then there's really no point from their end. And Allen's not going to take a pay cut to stay. So, I think it's ultimately more more about that. And, you know, look, let's be frank. For almost all these teams, no matter who it is, the executives, the coaches, ultimately always sort of side with guys that they brought in. And I know that, you know, this group is very much had this, you know, brotherly thing going on last year. And, you know, I think Terry McLaurin is going to get an extension and all that. But, I you know, when push comes to shove, if it's not the decision that you made in the first place, it's a little bit easier to separate from.
Ben Standick joins us now on the heels of John Allen being released. The Commanders set to save about $16.5 million against the cap. The other position up front, Ben, that Washington should be strongly considering is defensive end. We know the Trey Hendrickson stuff is out there. The Josh Sweat stuff is out there as well. Like, what do you think from your vantage point, I guess, Ben, is the best way that they should attack that position? Is it giving up capital for Hendrickson, or do you think it's, you know, going out and spending big money on one guy or bringing in a plethora of different guys?
Well, if you told me that, you know, Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett or someone like that were available in free agency, right, where there's no picks involved, you just have to spend the most money, basically, that would be one thing for me. But I've been sort of staunch about saying I just don't see them trading a first-round pick or several picks to get veterans. I understand that we all understand that they've got this unique situation where they've got a lot of momentum off of last year, they've got a lot of salary cap space, and they have this window where Jaden Daniels is still in a rookie contract. But the picks are the picks, and ultimately, you know, this is how they want to build the team, the sort of the spine of the team, and I agree. So, to me, look, everything has a value. If the Bengals are ultimately willing to come down and, you know, if they say, hey, a third-round pick might get it done, all right, well, I guess then we have to, you know, maybe consider it. But, you know, if it's anybody who's wanted in the trade a first, for me, that's going to be a bridge too far. But, you know, look, in free agency, you do have some interesting guys. I think Khalil Mack, to me, is the most interesting. He's, you know, he's up there in age, but he's still highly productive. And, again, he would probably get, like, a 1 or 2 year deal that fits into that Jaden contract timeline. I'm not as high on Josh Sweat, but the other good thing is this draft is loaded with defensive linemen. So, you know,
right, but I think you got to go into the draft with a solidified, comfortable answer at that spot, because there's no guarantee that you're going to get the apple of your eye, right?
Yeah, no, I'm saying you could do, you know, you have to look at all the scenarios. I mean, at a fallback spot, they're going to have options at 29, depending on how high they want to go. They have to add, I mean, look, they only have 4 defensive linemen on the roster now, period, of note. So they've got to bring back some of the guys from last year and some other pieces as well. But again, it all depends on how they want to spend their money. I mean, again, I wouldn't want to overspend on Josh Sweat, you know, just to say I checked the box. So it depends on what's out there. Yeah.
Is there any interest, do you think, in the older Bosa now that he's gone in Los Angeles, or does everybody around the league feel like he's a shoo-in to go play with his brother in San Francisco?
Certainly it's a fun storyline. No doubt. You know, I think there's some questions about where he's at, but, like, you know, just like John Allen, ultimately it's a money thing. You're not going to question Bosa's, you know, desire and energy and all that kind of stuff. And as we saw here last year, that can go a long way, even if, like, you don't have insane numbers. So, you know, like I said, I mean, everybody comes at a certain cost. And, you know, if he's – I don't know what his market's going to be right now. I don't know if teams are viewing him as a prove-it kind of player, or if it's more, you know, hey, no, we're ready to roll. Let's give you some good money. So – but also, he's got a little bit of health stuff going on too. So, yeah, I think he's definitely a name you have to consider for sure.
Ben, one thing that I think will really kind of tell and forecast their moves here is if we knew how they viewed themselves internally. Like, last year was really an anomaly when you think about what they were able to do in the quick turnaround and winning the 5 consecutive games on the last play of the game. Like, from your vantage point, like, knowing what they have at quarterback, knowing the resources that they have, while also taking into consideration, Ben, the sizable amount of holes that they have and the lack of depth, like, how do you think they're viewing themselves internally in the NFC going into this free agency and draft period?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my main question for the last few weeks, is like, how are we supposed to judge exactly what they are when half the roster is missing? And, you know, other than starting quarterback, I mean, I could justify them signing literally any other position, basically. I mean, it's not that, you know, spending bigger, you know, on almost any other position, at least before, say, Bobby Wagner resigned. But, yeah, so that's the challenging part. But, look, this is where the Jaden Daniels part is such a huge deal. When you have a guy like this who appears to be ready to join some of the top-tier quarterbacks in the league, if he hasn't already, you know, some people want to see it one more time at least. You know, that's where this thing is different, because his ability, as we saw last year, to, you know, sort of will this team at times to win, to make one smart play after another at the most important position in the league, that's the difference. Plus, like, because of Jaden Daniels and because of the success last year, you now see players who would never have picked up the phone to think about coming here before are now, you know, openly saying, as Deebo Samuel said, that he wanted to come to Washington, that was one of the teams at the top of his list. So, you know, I think that's the part that's interesting. I mean, like I said, if I had to guess at this point, it's just awfully tempting to think that you're not close to some degree because of Daniels. But again, this is why I just don't see Peters trading away the other picks, because you can't just go like, we're going all in on the vets. This team, you know, they got to get younger. I mean, this was one of the oldest teams in the league last year to boot, so they still have to build through the draft.
So now they signed Bobby Wagner. Who do you think is next on their top priority of guys keeping in-house?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's always possibility of, like, some smaller name guys. Like, if, you know, they just say, hey, Jeremy McNichols, we want you back, and he says, cool. You know, there could be that. But I feel like Zach Ertz has got to be sort of the next main priority. And if not him, then maybe it's his tag team partner, John Bates. I mean, look, I don't know that Ertz is going to have another season where he plays every game.
He was phenomenal, yeah.
And you know, it was such a red zone force, especially toward the end of the year. I don't know that that's realistic. But that said, he was an important piece last year. He gave that offense some size, some leadership. He obviously was very good at finding space and Jaden Daniels finding him. So I just think you keep him. And then with John Bates, look, the blocking tight end does not often get a lot of attention. But, you know, I think that position, you know, that specific skill set is becoming a bit more valuable around the league as the running game has had a resurgence. And, you know, I think John Bates is pretty effective. I know our guy Logan Paulson raves about him constantly. So, you know, I don't quite know what Ben Sinnott is right now. So until that happens, I think keeping Ertz probably on a one-year deal and Bates for a multi-year deal, I think would be important for them.
So there's been some different reporting out there surrounding Dolphins safety Javon Holland, 25 years of age, has some decent ball production. Spotrac has him getting $15 million annually. I saw Josina Anderson raise that number up to, you know, close to $17 million annually. How does that impact Jeremy Chinn's market, and how aggressive do you think Washington will be in trying to keep him? Because it seems like we may see Javon Holland maybe reset this market here at safety.
Yeah, I don't know that any resetting of the market is going to affect Jeremy Chinn. I mean, there are some safeties who will be viewed as top 20 players in this class, but I don't think that applies to Jeremy Chinn. I mean, look, his play last year earned him a bigger deal than the one he had last year. I think the question for me for Washington is just simply there are a fair amount of safeties, not even necessarily at the Holland level, but, you know, some other guys below that. I like Trayvon Moehrig from the Raiders, and he was coached by Jason Simmons, who's now Washington's defensive pass game coordinator. You also have, I always butcher his first name, but Hufanga from the 49ers, who was drafted by Adam Peters in the fifth round in 2021. The next year, he's named an all-pro. He's been injured a bit the last 2 years, and that's probably going to lower his value. But, you know, if Peters certainly liked him once, and if he buys into the, you know, that this guy's going to be able to be healthy and play, then that may be the way to go. But I don't see them running away from Chinn or anything like that. I just wonder, you know, they may look at the market as well. But obviously Chinn was a pretty valuable piece for them.
You know, I'm glad we're talking secondary. Do you think they're going to make a strong push to keep addressing corner? Obviously they have Marshawn Lattimore. They have Mikey. We think that Noah I is going to come back. Are you expecting maybe another, not massive splash, but a splash of some kind in free agency?
Well, I mean, keeping Igbinoghi would be the sort of safest play to, like, have options. Like you know, he should get a little bit of a bump. He did have a pretty good year in the slot last year. Certainly. But, you know, does he willing to you know, play ball here to stay. But I think the other rub there is, what are they doing with Sanders still? If Sanders still moves back to the slot, which is where he was going, his playing career was heading until Washington just ran out of options on the outside. If they move him back to the inside, is, you know, does Noah I want to stay in a possibly reserve role, or does he have another option to go elsewhere? At that point, you then have to go get another starting outside cornerback, and that's going to get potentially a little pricier again. I just did a mock draft, and I had Washington taking a cornerback in the second round. But, you know, yes, you even need more than that. I don't think St. Juste or Michael Davis are coming back. So right now their cornerbacks are Lattimore, Sanders still, and like Bobby Price. So they're going to have to make some plays one way or the other. So it wouldn't surprise me if they spent a decent amount on a corner. I just don't know yet if that's going to be an outside guy or an inside guy.
Yeah, I think they probably look to maybe attack the depth in free agency and then look in the draft for a guy that could potentially push Mikey back to the inside. It's the old Pete Carroll mantra, man. Competition everywhere all the time. I do think they're going to, like you said, bring in some more bodies at that position. It gets fascinating. You bring up Mikey moving back inside. The Brandon Coleman discussion is always fascinating to me as well, because all things considered, with the injuries and then the decorated pass rushers he faced last year, I thought he fared pretty well for himself. Going into free agency in the draft, I have Washington needing another starter at guard and then somebody to compete with Andrew Wiley. How do you kind of see the way that group looks right now?
Right. Well, this is a case where there's wants and availability, I guess. Like, this is a pretty lousy free agency class for tackles, right? You got Ronnie Stanley, who might be the number one free agent around, according to some people, and then it really falls off a cliff. I mean, like, I think I saw a list where, like, no disrespect, but, like, Morgan Moses was, like, the fifth tackle mentioned. Not knocking Morgan Moses, I'm just saying we don't typically view him as one of the better guys out there. So I think that's going to be part of the rub. I personally, you know, I asked both Peters and Quinn about, is Coleman essentially the left tackle next year? And neither one of them said definitely he is, which you kind of think they would if a second-year player is going to be the guy, right? I mean, you promote that.
I mean,
doesn't mean they're going to move him, but to me, he suggests that they're open to it. But again, who are you getting? At 29, yeah, there looks like there could be some tackles there, but you know, you can't presume that automatically. So I think potentially adding a guard and spending more there could be the best path. You know, look, Nick Allegretti was fine last year, but you know, I think they can upgrade there, and you know, they're already going to be missing Cosme for at least some amount of time going into the year. So you know, I can imagine they would like to get some more talent and tackle. The rub is, I just don't think this is a great year in free agency to do that. And therefore, you know, I can see them taking a flyer on like a guy like a Jedrick Willis, a former first round pick who hasn't really developed. But that's the problem. So Coleman may, in my head, at least stay at left tackle by default, or at least until they get to the draft and we're able to add somebody there to take that spot.
Ben, you're a smart guy. Who do you use to properly give you a cap number? Because SpotRack and Over the Cap have two very different numbers after this John Allen deal. Which one do you find to be more accurate?
Well, first of all, you don't have to, you know, kiss my you-know-what. I'm already on the show, done. Well, so typically, I mean, I would say Over the Cap is viewed as the better option. Now, I don't know if they've changed anything in the last half hour to an hour. I believe they already included the Deebo Samuel trade, even though it's not official, I think. So I don't know where things are at with what it shows. But yeah, typically, it's Over the Cap is the one I would probably lean to more.
Ben, we'll let you go on this, my friend. Relative to the draft, hard to project out this far, but do you think it's more likely that they stick and pick at 29, or do they try and recoup some more assets here on day two?
Well, you know, the question is, what's the board going to look like when they get closer? You know, the hope I would think for them is that there's a third quarterback or a fourth quarterback that emerges that potentially goes in the first round. I know Jackson Dart is the current like sort of favorite there, and we'll see. But you know, there's always these quarterbacks. You know, a couple of years ago, everybody was talking about Hendon Hooker in the first round, and he falls to the third. And you know, Geno Smith was going to be a top five pick once upon a time. He fell to the second. So we have to see where things are at. Like, some people don't even think Shadur Sanders necessarily makes it in the first round. that said, I think that if we get closer to the draft and one of those guys is in the mix, or one or two of those guys is in the mix for teams late in the first round, I think it would make a lot of sense potentially to trade out, you know, move down a handful of picks, get a couple other picks in return, and still probably be in good position to get, let's just say, a defensive end or offensive tackle in the same general range. So I think, though, we just have to wait and see. It would be fun to do that now, but no team is logically going to trade up now to, say, 29 in the hopes that who knows, Jackson Dart could be gone well before then. So I think they have to wait closer, maybe even while they're on the clock, but that would be something I think it's got to be in consideration.
Sure. Ben, appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. Get some sleep while you can, because I anticipate a lot of sleepless nights for you coming up here in the next couple of days.
I hear you, man. We'll see. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yep, that is Ben Standing. Make sure you check out his work on The Athletic. I always love catching up with him, one of the most plugged-in guys on the Commanders beat. A lot to tackle. John Allen was just released by the Washington Commanders, and the big reason why it feels like fans here have kind of soured on him is the Commanders' run defense last year, not very good. We'll try to diagnose some of the issues they had against the run when Ted Nguyen of The Athletic joins us next, one of the best X's and O's film guys in the National Football League. He joins us next. We'll talk to him about the Commanders' run defense as well as some potential targets in the NFL draft. Ted Nguyen coming your way next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
About a half hour left to go on the program before we hand things over to our guy, Chris Russell. He joins you next. Right now, we go back out to the guest hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites talking all things X's and O's with the National Football League. Our guy Ted Wynn, you can follow him on the old X app at FB_film analysis. One of the absolute best for The Athletic, talking all things NFL in college. Ted, what's going on, my brother? How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Big, big fan of your work. There are a couple of Washington-specific questions we wanted to chime in on you with, someone that, you know, grinds the tape the way that you do. A big issue for this team last year was their inability to stop the run on a consistent basis. It's part of the reason we saw the move made that just happened about 20 minutes ago. They part ways with John Allen. When you look at Washington's defense, from what you've been able to gather and see, what would you describe as like the major Achilles heel of their run defense? I know it's hard when you get gashed the way that they do to try and pinpoint one thing, but what would you really point at and say, yeah, they've got to fix that?
Well, I think they play a single gap defense under Dan Quinn. So when you're playing a single gap defense, you really need to be dominant across the board. Defensive line, you have to be disruptive. You have to be able to get some tackles for losses. You have to be able to get into the backfield. And to do that, you need guys that are talented. And I think they just didn't have the talent, especially around the edges last year, with Dante Fowler. And you just need some upgrades to that spot, which is why it makes sense that they have some interest in Trey Hendrickson. Yeah. Because if you don't have the talent outside and you're rushing upfield, you're just going to give up the outside. I thought they were very susceptible to outside runs, and we saw that Saquon Barkley's first carry in the NFC Championship game where he took it outside. And I just didn't think they're very good at tackling once teams got to the second and third level. So I think the first thing you have to do is you really need to improve the talent on the edges, get some guys that can disrupt, and then you just have to be better at tackling in the secondary, and that comes with training and getting the attitude on in the secondary.
So I want to follow up on that because I think it's interesting. We saw this with Dallas's defense while DQ was there, but their issue seemed to be up the middle on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
With Washington, I'm glad that you pointed out to our listening audience that they are a one-gap defense. I always say my old adage is that the play doesn't care who makes it. I think we saw that a lot last year with Washington as well, guys not maintaining the gap integrity, trying to chase the football. Do you look at it as a potential like scheme issue? Does Washington have the type of defensive tackles that would thrive in Dan Quinn's system? Because I still feel like they're missing that space eater in the middle that can eat double teams and keep the linebackers clean.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, for this type of defense, they're not going to get that big two-gapping type of defender inside, but they need disruptors inside. They need guys that can just, get past a guard in the B-gap and then make that running back have to cut or make a move. I mean, if they do decide to switch up their philosophy a little bit and maybe find a guy that, like you said, could hold up against double teams instead of just, get upfield. Puna Ford is a great free agent that I think made himself a lot of money last year with the Chargers as a run defender. I have a hard time seeing them sway from that philosophy. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, you got to find some guys that could quickly penetrate and disrupt that running back and not let him just get into the gap he wants to right off the bat.
Ted, going back to Trey Hendrickson, how much, like speaking from Washington's perspective, how much is too much knowing they're going to have to give up assets and then likely sign him to a long-term deal?
I think the fact that you have to sign Trey Hendrickson to a long-term deal means that the draft compensation for him is not going to be as significant as you think. Getting a player like Trey Hendrickson, he only has 1 year left on his deal. So, once you trade for him, you have to have a deal in place. But I think to me, probably a second round pick. It's not like he's a very young player. So I would think a second round pick and some other picks in that package to go get him would be seems like the right spot for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. His the age, as you mentioned, and the contract, you know, definitely does, you know, influence the draft capital that since he's going to get back. It's fascinating the way that they've gone about it from a team building perspective, Ted. Like, they're going to basically try to outscore everybody because not a lot of resources are being poured into the defensive side of the football. I want to look to the offensive line here with Washington for a second, Ted. Brandon Coleman, as a rookie, I thought fared pretty well for himself, all things considered. Third-round pick that was a plug-and-play guy from day one at tackle. Had some injuries down the stretch, and then he went up against just one of the most decorated group of pass rushers that any tackle had to face this year in the NFL when you consider Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons. The list can go on and on. Should Washington be looking to let him fail, quote-unquote, at tackle, or do you think it's a situation where they should be, you know, open to an upgrade there?
I think you should be open to an upgrade. I think Coleman played great for his draft spot, and he held up pretty well. But I always think you should be looking for some star power at left tackle. Yeah. And, he hasn't shown that yet, but, I mean, he was a rookie, and he can ascend to that. But then, you know, there are players that have outperformed their draft position that hasn't ascended to that. I mean, a good example of that is the Bears drafting Braxton Jones at left tackle, and he played pretty well, but he just never really gotten better and gotten to that star level. So I think for Coleman, obviously, you know, there's not going to be a lot of left tackle options in the free agent class. Yeah. So it's not like you're going to find a clear upgrade there. So I think, you know, you let him play this year and you see if he could take his game to that next level. But if not, then, you know, I think with a young quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who's a star, you know, see if you could upgrade that position if he doesn't ascend to that next level this coming year.
Yeah, Ted, I'm looking at your Twitter right now. I'm a big draft guy, and I know you do some coverage of the draft. I've been really kind of like interested in to see how Jackson Dart is going to be looked at by NFL scouts. With the assumption of Cam Ward and Shador being the top two quarterbacks, do you anticipate that Jackson Dart is going to go in round number one?
You know, watching him, I would give him a second round grade, and I'm very interested in the traits. He's a young player. He has a lot of room to grow. Played in the Ole Miss offense that is not very translatable when it comes to pro offenses, so he has a lot to learn. I heard he struggled to take snaps from under center in the Shrine game or Senior Bowl or whatever bowl game, all-star game he played in postseason. So it's going to be a big learning curve for him coming into the pros, but when you just look at the skill set, he's a big quarterback, he's mobile, dangerous scrambling. He has arm talent. He could make those layered throws. So, I mean, to me, he's a very intriguing prospect. And I'm not as high as on Shedeur Sanders as most guys. I just think he's a very limited ceiling, and I just don't buy the hype. I think a lot of it is just based on the fact that, you know, his dad was Deion Sanders, and they got so much attention at Colorado. But to me, he has a weak arm. He just really doesn't have any elite traits. I think he could be a starter in his league, and there's a floor there, but I don't see the ceiling. So I think if you want to gamble on a quarterback with the more traits that you know, might be able to reach that level, and you have a starter that and you could let Dart sit a year or two, you know, I think you know you could justify maybe taking him late in the first round, but. To me, he's a second-round grade, but as we know, quarterback desperation gets guys drafted a lot earlier than the grade you give them.
Ted, keeping things on the draft here, if Washington can acquire Trey Hendrickson via trade or throw big money at Josh Sweat, who I'll ask you about here in a moment, at 29, I really feel like there's going to be a run on these defensive ends in the middle of the first round. Like I think Mike Green out of Marshall and Azaraku out of Boston College don't make it out of the top 20, and we know we've got the kids from Georgia. Do you see Washington being able to get a plug-and-play guy at edge at 29?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not a super strong edge class, but I think tackles are going to be, I think this tackle class is starting to look a little bit better than people think. And I think, you know, a lot of those tackles will get pushed into the first round and maybe one of those edges will drop down. But I think they'll be able to get a quality player at 29.
How do you feel about Travis Hunter? Do you think he's, I know he's his incredible skill set. Do you think, would you draft him rather in the top five if you were GM?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to me, I love his skill set at cornerback and just those ball skills and ability to beat quarterbacks. I mean, you just don't see that kind of ability from defensive backs in the draft very often. And then, you know, just watching him as a receiver, I mean, I was a little bit surprised at how good he was at wide receiver. I mean, you know, we heard about the potential of wide receiver and his ability to play two ways, but just watching him closely on the offensive side of the ball, you know, he's very raw right now, but I mean, there's ability there to be an all pro at that position as well if he does focus on it, and you can make a lot more money at that position. So, you know, after watching him, I'm a little bit more open to him playing on that side of the ball because just the fact that you can make more money. But I just think, yeah, I mean, it's just rare ability, and he's the top player in the draft to me.
Ted, we appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend. Enjoy the draft season and have a good weekend, my man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
That is Ted Wynn, one of the absolute best over at The Athletic, talking all things X's and O's. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Denton's Daily News next on The Kevin Sheehan Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This new segment is brought to you by the D.C. Defenders. Be there for Red Zone Home Opener. The celebration is the Defenders' battle-reigning UFL champion, the Birmingham Stallions. Join them Sunday, March 30th at 3 p.m. to pack out a field and wear red. Get tickets at UFLDefenders.com. That's UFLDefenders.com. So the big news of the day, Linnell, there's a couple different news things for the Commanders. They re-signed Bobby Wagner yesterday. They released John Allen today. It happened about an hour ago on our program. So they're going to be in the defensive tackle market in some way, shape, or form this offseason. It also brings John Allen's 8 years in Washington to an end. I tweeted this out. You can follow me at the Denton Day. Follow Linnell at NELL_BTP. We got a lot of speeches from John Allen about how this stuff needs to change. And then it finally started changing, and he's gone. You know, cold world, NFL, tough business, man.
Cold world, no snuggie is how I would describe that. John Allen, I will always remember him, and I'm kind of in a Twitter spat right now with Brandon Thorne, the like NFL offensive line guy.
Who?
Yeah, right. John Allen, to me, still gonna have a quality market. I think he's still a really good player. He was Washington's best interior pass rusher. I just think money wins all wars, bro. And I think he just is looking for some financial security. I do think it's ironic, though, to your point, after barking about you wanting things to change and then things change and now you change. It's the ultimate switch up, not going to lie.
Yeah, so he's going to go somewhere. You know, Minnesota has been rumored. Seattle.
I like New England for him. I really like New England for him. Like, if they get him and Milton Williams, that'd be a good tandem for them.
They got a lot of money. They got a lot of money.
They got too much money that they're not even going to be able to spend it all.
No, they're not. Right? You know, Robert Kraft doesn't like spending money. Yeah. It's not how it works. But a guy that could be spending money on is DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
He requested a trade earlier this week. The Commanders are not listed on the very important, what was it, like BetAG or something, graphic about odds. The Commanders are not on that. That's a celebration.
The first time all offseason.
But the Patriots are. I'd love the fit of DK Metcalf. Playing alongside Drake May, it's very clear they need to get him wide receivers. Not just like the Bill Belichick, here's six tight ends, figure it out. Get him wide receivers. I think DK would love playing with Mike Vrabel, so that could be an interesting move to watch. The Packers, Steelers, and Chargers are also those that are rumored to be in contention for DK.
I like the Chargers. I think Justin Herbert needs another wide receiver to go with Ladd, and you saw Quentin Johnston last year. Kind of come into his own, which was good to see because, boy, was his Twitter mentions on fire. People were all over him about his draft position and then lack of productivity. I like DK there. I also think New England, but, like, there's no way they would make New England give up four, right? That's what New England picks, right? It's fourth, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know that I'd give up four for DK Metcalf. You get Travis Hunter and DK Metcalf.
I'm about to say, so if you're New England, and you compare Travis next to Christian Gonzalez – then you got DK as your number one wide receiver. Then you put a package in for Travis.
With Travis, yeah.
That could be
interesting. You got Drake May throwing it. Maybe John Allen on defense. That could work. No Christian Kirk for the Commanders. The Texans acquire him for a seventh round to pick. Honestly, good on them. You get to deal with that contract. His contract situation's not good. Didn't really want that smoke anyway. I know he had ties to Cliff Kingsbury from the jump. Wasn't really interested.
Yeah. I just think once you acquire Debo, I thought you were kind of out of the Christian Kirk sweepstakes because of the price.
Can we call that a Christian Kirk sweepstakes or just the Christian Kirk? How about a Christian Kirk conversation? I don't know that it was a sweepstakes for Christian Kirk.
I may have hyperbolized just a wee bit. But the reason I called it and the reason I described it as such is because he would have been the best guy on the market under 30. And, like, that doesn't really happen.
Him and Godwin, which apparently Godwin is going to command.
Is Godwin under 30?
Yeah, he is. Okay. He's going to command.
I take that back because I like Chris Godwin better.
He might command $25 million per year, which I think that's because I think you and I had talked about this earlier where we liked Chris Godwin and the potential that Washington did not go and trade for a wide receiver. I don't know that I wanted to pay him that much, but that felt like a fair number. If you're already getting that number rumored now, I'm led to believe that it's going to be a little higher. Just my line of thinking is if you're getting rumored numbers ahead of the official start of free agency, that is an agent leaking it to drive up the price. So I think he could get in the neighborhood of $27, $28 million.
Yeah, Spotrac only has him at 22. I think.
I don't really trust their market value.
If Terry's going to get 30 plus, let's just say it's 32 for Terry. And I don't even know if it gets to 32.
I don't think it'll get to 32, but I'm following with what you're saying.
If you're Chris Godwin in your camp, like, he's put up numbers. He's had production.
He ain't Terry, though.
He's not Terry, of course.
Yeah, he ain't Terry. I think if he gets 28, that'd be a win.
That's why I think your number makes sense.
Like, he needs just a little bit more, honestly, than the T. Higgins franchise tag. You see that number? Give me that per year.
I can't believe since he's doing him like this.
They're going to sign him long-term. That's why they're trading Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
They should. I don't know. Let me rephrase it. They should sign him long-term. I don't know. That they will. How about the Browns declining to meet with Myles Garrett?
I've been waiting for
great
this.
Organization move right there. Love that.
It is the most baffling, asinine thing that I've ever seen. Jimmy Haslam, who the hell do you think you are? You're the idiot franchise that decided to go out and give up your entire franchise's draft capital for a sex offender and give him a terrible-ass contract, and now you're going to do arguably the greatest player in the history of your franchise on defense like this? There's no way Cleveland's actually moving like this. They look stupid. But I had Mike Jones tell me from The Athletic, and I know this has gotten around, that this is the rumor going on Miles, and I'm sure he's adamant about putting that rumor to bed. There is this thought that he doesn't have the temperament to rock the boat. And I guess the Browns feel that way as well. How the hell are you going to deny a meeting with the greatest defender in the history of your franchise?
Maybe they're taking time to do their due diligence before the meeting.
That's Jimmy Haslam being a, can I say jackass? Being a jackass. Like, I guess I probably should have.
That's fine.
That is him being just an absolute idiot. And it all started when they made the trade for Deshaun Watson. And it blew up in their face. And now this is blowing up in their face. That's what you call football karma, trading big draft capital for a terrible person, and it's blown up in their face.
My general philosophy is billionaires are going to be billionaires. You can't really tell them how to act. They think they're so high and above everybody else, and that has not ever failed me, my line of thinking. This is clearly that, because there's no way that if you are a competent thinking human being, you look at this and say, I'm totally the good guy here. He wants to meet to talk it over, and you say, no, what are you going to do, hold him hostage? That is not going to work very well. Big weekend this weekend in the DMV. You got the Caps in action tonight against the Red Wings, continuing Alex Ovechkin's chase for Wayne Gretzky. They also made a trade earlier today, acquiring a wing guy from the Penguins. They're at Cap 1 tonight against the Red Wings. Puck drops at 7. Then you get a lot of local basketball this weekend. You get Georgetown at DePaul at 2 p.m. You get Maryland and Northwestern at 3 p.m. And then you get George Mason and Richmond at 6 p.m. So a lot of good local basketball this weekend in the DMV.
Yes, it is. I'm excited for it. We also get the start. It's on the lower level, the Division II level, or the Division I AA level, rather. The CAA tournament gets underway this weekend over at Care First Arena. So I know got a couple of friends in the program of the Towson Tigers. They're the number one seed on the men's side. So I know there's a lot of excitement around that as well. We were talking about it, and Joe Lunardi did officially put it out that Maryland is a 4 seed to him. I'm excited for them, those boys, to make a run. I'm also excited to see how Mason does in the A-10 tournament. There was a lot of steam around them, and then VCU put belt to ass.
Yeah, VCU got the better of them. But you get that at Cap 1. You know, the A-10 being in D.C., I think, should be
a
fun.
Oh, the A-10 tournament's in D.C.?
Yeah, it's in D.C., which is, I don't know if you've ever been to a conference tournament before. I have not, but I've been to NCAA tournaments where you're there basically all day watching games. If you're a real hoophead, and I know there's a lot of them, certainly that listen to this show, but definitely in the area, because this is, I would say, the capital of high school basketball in the country, you want to go and watch it. Like, it's really fun environments if you just love sitting around and watching basketball.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited about it. It was news to me that you just broke, brother, so I got to see if we can get all credential for that, because I'm definitely down for that, especially knowing the history of VCU in that conference and Coach Skin over at Mason doing the damn thing, man. I'm excited for it. Definitely excited for it. That's going to wrap it up, though, man. Big show in the books. Chris Russell comes your way next. Big thank you to Ben Standing. Big thank you to Ted Wynn. Denton, thank you as well, my brother. Big show coming your way on Monday. We're back in for Kevin Sheehan. The legal tampering period opens up in the National Football League. We'll continue to take a look ahead at the draft as Bruce Feldman of The Athletic joins us Monday. Chris Russell joins you next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.